Today's Shir the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Yud Gimel. We're learning today Leila Nishmas Benjamin Bloom, Binyamin Bimosha Cohen. All the Shams we learned for should have an Aliyah from all learning. We pick up the Gemara by the new Mishnah in the middle of the Gimel Omid Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, and again, we learned this Mishnah previously, so it's a good chazar for us. Omer, if a person says, Tnu get ze liishti, if a person says, go and give this get to my wife, person is assigning a shliach to bring the get to his wife, or he says, shtar shichur ze li'avdi. If he says, I want you to go and bring this, he tells the shliach, I want you to go bring this get shichur, this document of freeing the slave, to his Eved Kenani. And then, before it was delivered into the hands of the wife, or the Eved Kenani respectively, v'meis. And then the person, the husband of the woman, or the owner of the Eved Kenani, they pass away. So it hasn't yet reached the hands of the woman or the Eved Kenani in their respective cases. So the halach is, the Mishnah tells us, lo yitnu li'achamisa, you can't give a get after the person's death. Get has to be given during the lifetime of the person. And likewise, the get shechura, he no longer owns the slave. If Rahman al-Salami died, so it belongs to his yarship, and he doesn't have the right to go free the slave if he's not alive. So the Tanna Kamma tells us over here that you can't give the get to the wife, and you can't give the get shichur, the document that frees this slave, to the Eved Kenani if he died before they actually possessed it. Lo yitnu li'achar misa. Now, if the person, however, had said, Tenu mona li'ish ploni, I want you to go and give $100, a mona, 100 zuz, to this person, and then before the money was actually given to them, they died for mace. In their situation, yitnu li'achamis, as opposed to the get for the isha or the get for the shichur avadim, here, if the person had said, give this money to so-and-so, and then he dies, even though it's after his death, you do give the money. And the world explained two possibilities for what, under what circumstances this occurs. Shmuel starts off and tells us, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marsa, Mishmei Dirav, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel, who was the son of Marsa. Marsa was his mother's name. The Gemara elsewhere has interesting stories about why his mother's name is given and not his father's name, and that's because his father was Issur Giyura, and he was a guy who had attacked this woman, Marsa, while she was a captive, and then he ultimately converted, and she married him afterwards. So we don't want to dignify, so to say, the father's name, so therefore he's known as Rabbi Yitzchak Shmuel bar Marsa. And he said this over in the name of Rav. We have two statements in the name of Rav. This is the first one in the name of Rav. So this is going on the last part of the Mishnah, where we said that if the person, before his death, goes and tells the shaliach, go give 100 zuz, give a mana to so-and-so, and then he dies, you still go give it to them, even though the person had died. Now, this was said over by Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marsa in the name of Rav, that we're dealing here only who should see burin, that this money was piled together, it was bundled together, umunacha b'karen zavis, and it was set aside in the corner of the house. But if it had just said, go give cash to that person without it being set aside, so Rav's opinion is that in that situation you wouldn't be able to give it, it's only when it was piled together, tziburin, umunach mikaren zavis, and it was set aside in the corner, so we know it's exactly that 100 bucks, that mana that he said you should go and give to the other person. And only under those circumstances can you give it to him after the owner of that money passes away. Even though he's already dead, you still give it. But if it was just 100 bucks stam, without it being tziburin and munach mikaren zavis, you wouldn't be allowed to go and give it. That's what was said over in the name of Rav. Now, what are we talking about? Under what circumstances should it be true? The more questions this, it doesn't seem to make sense. But my asking, under what circumstances are we talking about? Elaim obibari, if you're talking about the person who ultimately dies was a healthy person at this time, and then 10 minutes later he gets a heart attack, Rechmon al-Lusan, and he dies, so he was a bari, he was a perfectly healthy person at the time that he said, go and give the 100 bucks to so-and-so, so then, ki tziburin, my habi. How does it help us to know that they were all bundled together, and they were placed in Menachem Mikaren Zavis, and they were in a corner of the room, so it was a specified set pile of cash? Ha lo mashach, there was no kinyan made. If there was no kinyan made, then how can it be transferred over from the person who ultimately died to the person that he wanted to give it to? There was no kinyan. And the healthy person has to make some sort of a kinyan. It had to be either a mashicha, some sort of a kinyan mashicha, which means to bring it towards you, which really means over here a kinyan hakbah, which means a kinyan of lifting it up, so the shaliach could go and acquire it on behalf of the other person. Here there was no kinyan. So how could you go and say that this is a valid transfer of the money from the person who ultimately dies to the person that he wanted to give the money to? So that's, if you're dealing with a bari, if he was a healthy person, there's no kinyan over here. You're going to tell me, you're telling me that this person was on his deathbed, and there's a special rule about a shchiv mira. A person on his deathbed, so we're very concerned that if you don't do exactly what he says, he's going to get agitated, and he's going to be worried and nervous, and that could Rachmana Litzlan, speed up his death because he's nervous and agitated about this. So we have a famous rule, Divrei Shchiv Mira Kiksuvim Umisurin Dami, that we have a rule that says that in order to make the Shchiv Mira not be concerned about it, so therefore, just by saying so, it's as if Ki'ilu Kisuvin, it was written down, Umisurin, and handed over. And this way the Shchiv Mira knows that no matter what happens to him, everything will be taken care of. So if we're dealing over here with the Shchiv Mira who said, go and give that money to so-and-so, so then why does it have to be Tziburin Umenachem Mekerem Zavis? My ear, your Tziburin Umenachem Mekerem Zavis. Ki ain't Tziburin Nami. The halacha is that even if they're not in a corner piled together in a set way, so we know it's definitely talking about that money. The rule is, the Kaimala, we've learned elsewhere, many places, the Divrei Shchemira, Ki Kesuvim Ukechem Esurin Damu. In order to make sure that he doesn't get agitated, and Rachmana Litzlan, he dies a minute faster than he would otherwise have died because of his agitation. So we have this rule that the words of a Shchiv Meira are considered as if they were already written down and handed over, as if a kinyan was made. The Chachamim set up this special type of a din in order to facilitate the giving over of these funds so as not to agitate the person who's dying. So again, Mimanushach, if we're dealing with a healthy person, how does it help us that the Tziburin Umenachem Mekerem Zavis? And if we're dealing with a sick person, a Shchiv Meira, so then why is it needed to have the Tziburin Umenachem Mekerem Zavis? So we're getting to two Teirutzim over here. The first one is from Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid tells us, I'm Rav Zvid, Leolim Babari. No, we actually are talking about a healthy person. So then how does Tziburin Umenachem Mekerem Zavis help us? Because this goes like another statement that Rav had made, Uchid Rav Huna Amar Rav, that which Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Yom Rav Huna Amar Rav, Mana Li Biyotcha. If Reuven says to Shimon, I gave you a mana of my property, you now have it, and I want you to go and give it to Levi, so this is called Mana Li Biyotcha Tneo Lo Liploni, this is B'maymat Shloshton Kone. If all three of them there, Reuven's there, Shimon's there, and Levi's there, so the rabbis instituted a special din called Maimat Shloshton in the presence of all three of them. This, in fact, is going to be a valid kinyan, even though no kinyan actually took place. The Gemara will later on tell us how then does this work. So the bottom line is, it was a halach l'moshe b'Sinai. The rabbis instituted it because of the principle that hefker based in hefker, the rabbis have the right in financial matters to say the money doesn't belong to Reuven, it belongs to Shimon. So over here they said in this setup of Maimat Shloshton, so the money is transferred when Reuven gave it to Shimon, so now Reuven can just say, go give it to Levi, and the money is transferred over. And this would work for a Bari. So Rav Zvid tells us that the situation over here that we're talking about there with Tziburin Umenachem Mekerem Zavis is this case of Maimat Shloshton, and that's why it works. And we're dealing with a Bari, a healthy person. On the other hand, Rav Papa disagrees. Rav Papa says, Rav Papa Amar Li Olam Bishchiv Meira, we're dealing here with a sick person. Aye, then why do you need Tziburin Umenachem Mekerem Zavis? It should be enough just Kiksuvin Umesurim Dami for a sick person. So the Gemara says, no, this goes like another statement that Rav had made. Uchidich Idach the Rav, that Rav had said a different statement, the Omer Rav. Rav had also told us, in addition to what Rav Zvid said, he said, but Rav over here says, the Omer Rav, Shchiv Meira Shabar Tnumana Liploni Minichasai. Rav had said that if a Shchiv Meira says, give a mana of my money to so-and-so, to Levi, tenu mana liploni minuchasai, go and give him $100 a mana of my money. So, mana ze nostin. They do, in fact, give this over, but that implies mana stam ain't nostin. It's only if it was this mana ze nostin, but not if it was mana stam. So this is the statement of Rav to explain why it had to be Tziburin Umenachem even for a Shchiv Meira. Because Rav's opinion is, Chayshina, we have to be concerned. Shema Mona Kavur Kamar. Maybe he didn't mean that particular mona. He meant a mona kavur. As Rashi tells us, Yeshlo Bekarki, he has money hidden someplace, and it's that money, the Hahu Hudiyavle, he only wants to give that money that's hidden, buried away someplace, that's the money he wanted to give, but not the money that's extant, not the money that's around over here. So unless he specifically says monezeh, then you can give it over. But if he doesn't say monezeh, he just says give over monestam, Rav's opinion is that ain't nostim, even though he's a Shchiv Meira. Because of this concern, chayshin shem mona kavur kamar. He meant a specific money that was hidden away, and therefore you can't give him regular money. However, the Gemara says, v'hilchasol l'kvura lo chayshin. This concept of a mona kavur is not the way we paskin, and therefore, Rav Papa, while he brought this down in the name of Rav, that is not the halach l'maisa. And therefore, Rav Papa's statement isn't lehalacha, but that's Rav Papa's answer to the question. Rav Zvid had given a different answer. And now the Gemara says, why didn't Rav Zvid give Rav Papa's answer? And why didn't Rav Papa give Rav Zvid's answer? So that's what the Gemara now says. Rapapa, who had said this din of Chayshinun Shema Mona Kavur Kamar, and that's why you had to say this Tziburin Umunachim Karen Zavis type of a pile of money. So why didn't he like the Maimit Shloshtan Teretz of Rav Zvid? Rapapa, my time, Alo Mark Rav Zvid. Why didn't he like that Teretz? What was wrong with that Teretz? We turn to your Gemara on the base, because Kisava Rapapa, Rapapa was of the opinion that when Rav had said his din, Ki Amar Rav, Lo Shna, Bemilva, Velo Shna, Bebikada. He was saying that the din of Maimit Shloshtan, according to Rapapa, he holds it, Rav held that it didn't have to be actually give it over. It could actually be a loan. It didn't have to be an actual item that was tziburin umunachin v'keren zavis. And since that case was talking about only tziburin umunachin v'keren zavis, that's why Rav Papa didn't want to use the maimit shloshtan teretz, because it wouldn't have had to have said then tziburin umunachin v'keren zavis, because it didn't have to be according to Rav Papa's understanding. Because lo shtabi milva, the lo shtabi, because it doesn't make any difference how the money got there. Now, why didn't Rav Zvid, my time alone, my Rav Papa, why did Rav Zvid, who said, my mishloshtan, why didn't he say the concern of the kever, the money that was in the kever, that was hidden away, why wasn't he giving that teretz that Rav Papa had given? So Gemara says, lo misukma masnisim b'shchimira, because he didn't think that our Mishnah could be interpreted as dealing with the shchimira. Why not? Mimai? Why not? Because b'dikitanei, because the Mishnah said, omer tnu get zeli yishti, if a person said, please give this get, he tells the shliach, please give this get to my wife, or he said, ushtar shichrol zeli abdi, or give over this document that would free the slave to the Eved Kanani, and then before it was given over of the maize. So in that situation where the owner, the Baal, died, the owner of the Eved Kanani or the husband of the woman died before it was given over. So we said in the Mishnah, lo yitnu liacha misa, you're not allowed to give it over after misa, because you must divorce a wife while you're alive, and the Eved can only be meshuchra while you're alive. Once you're dead, it belongs to your yarshim. The person's dead, the wife is a widow, she can't be a divorcee. You can't divorce her after your death. Now, the implication from that is, taima, the reason why you can't give it is because the mace. It's only because he died. But otherwise, if he was still alive, so when he said, go and give this get to my wife, go and give this shtar shikr to my yevid, it would have worked. If he was alive, the shaliach would have given over the get to the woman, or the get shikr to the Eved Kanani, and it would have worked. Taima, the only reason that that's so is because the Amar Tznu, because he said, go and give it to them. However, if he had said, halo Amar Tznu, if he didn't say Tznu, but he said, go and write the get, without saying to them, without saying go and give it to them, ain't no stim, you wouldn't be allowed to go and give it. Therefore, if this was the case of a shchimira, it would have been adequate to just say to know. You wouldn't have to go and say kisu, because ushchiv mira afal gadilo amar tenu nostim. Because the shchiv mira, even if he doesn't say tenu, you're allowed to go and give it, because we assume that because of his ill state, his near-death situation, he forgot to say the word tenu, as we bring down from the following famous Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that we have later on in our Masechta. It's also found in other places, if not. But Rishona originally, Hayuamim, the Chacham said, only a person ayotze bekolor, if a person is going out, a kolor is like a collar. It literally means in chains, and as Rashi points out, leharik, to be killed. In other words, he was found guilty by the government, and they're bringing him out in chains, in this collar, bekolor, to go and be killed. And the Omar, on his way out, he says, Kisu get liishti, go and write a get for my wife. He, for whatever the reason, doesn't want his wife to fall to Yibum. Let's say they don't have children, and his wife then would have to go marry his brother. His brother may not be around. His brother may be somebody that he doesn't want his wife to marry. So he figures it's much better for her if she's a divorcee and doesn't have to fall to Yibum. As Rashi points out over here, in Dira Maso, Kisu get liishti, kidei shaloti zokik liyavim. So she's not going to fall to her Yavim. In this situation, if he just said, Kisu get liishti, hare elu yichtivu, they're allowed to write the get, and the yidnu, and they're allowed to go and give it. However, that was the original Pesach. That's Barishona, they said this. Chazul Omar, later on, the Chachamim added on to this and said, not only the person that's going out in the kolor, not only the person that's about to be executed, we assume he's in a bamboozled state, and that when he said kisvu, he really meant kisvu utinu. Ah, so too the Chacham added on, Hamifareish Vayotzeh Beshayara, if somebody is going out. Rashi explains, Hamifareish means Bayam, he's going out on a dangerous ocean trip. Or Vayotzeh Beshayara, or he's going out on a caravan, Rashi says, Lamidbar. Both of these were very dangerous types of trips. There's unfortunately a chance that he won't come back, and therefore he's writing and saying, go and write a get to my wife, so she shouldn't be an aguna. So in case he doesn't come back, she'll be considered a divorced woman, and she can go marry somebody else. She'll go on with her life. If he comes back, he can remarry her, so it's not a problem. So in the situation when somebody's mefarish liyam or yotze b'shiara b'midbar, so the Mishnah tells us that such a person also is like the yotze b'kolor, like the person who's going out to be executed, and we assume he's just bamboozled. His mind is so concerned with what's going on that when he said kisu, he didn't mean just write it. He meant kisu utinu. And along comes Rav Shimon ben Shizuri. Rav Shimon ben Shizuri Omer, he also adds Av Hamisukon. The same thing applies to a Shchiv Meira. But we see it's only Rav Shimon ben Shizuri who says the same thing applies, that if he only said Kisu, that we assume it means Kisu Utenu. Only Rav Shimon ben Shizuri says that. The Tanakhama doesn't hold like that. And therefore, Rav Zvid, he didn't want to say it like Rav Papa because he says it doesn't apply. If you just said Kisvu, his opinion is that you can't go and give it. Not like Rav Shimon ben Shizuri. And therefore, that's why he didn't want to say, like Rav Papa, that we're dealing over here with a Shchiv Meira. More questions, and it says, Maskel Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, Uma name alon dimasdisin Rav Shimon ben Shizuri. So who says that our Mishnah is Rav Shimon ben Shizuri? You're right. If our Mishnah is Rav Shimon ben Shizuri, so then he would say, Afa Mesukon. But if you're not saying it's Rav Shimon ben Shizuri, so then, Dilma Rabbanini, if it's the opinion of the Chachamim. And therefore, you also must say, Kisvu utinu for a mesukan. So therefore, it could be, our Mishnah could be discussing a Shchiv Meira, because unless you say tinu, it doesn't work. So why are you forcing our Mishnah to be like Rav Shimon Shizuri? So therefore, there is no reason to think that Rav Zvid is telling us that it must be with a healthy person. According to this question of Rav Ashi, it could be dealing with a Shchiv Meira, and therefore, there is no reason that the Mishnah can't be understood as Rav Papa did, that we're dealing with a Shchiv Meira. Okay, but that's the bottom line. That's the machlokes, because why Rav Zvid didn't hold like Rav Papa, and Rav Papa didn't hold like Rav Zvid. Gufo, we're now going to go back and reiterate what we said before. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Rav Huna is the name of Rav. Mona li biyodcha, if a person has a mana of Shimon, has a mana from Reuven in his hand, and Reuven says, go and give that mana to Levi, mana li biyodcha, Reuven says, the mana that you have in your hand, Shimon, that's mine, go and give that to Nehu lo luploni. That is considered something called b'maimat shloshdan and kona. This is a valid type of a kinyan. Again, one more time. Reuven has his money in Shimon's hand, and he tells Shimon, go and give it to Levi, so that even though there was no kinyan, that is called a kinyan maimat shloshdan, and it is a valid transfer of the money. And Levi automatically gets the money just by Reuven telling Shimon to go and give it to Levi. Now, how does this work? Omar Rava, Rava says, Mistabra milse de Rav bipikodon. This makes sense if Shimon actually has something like a pikodon in his possession that belongs to Reuven. However, avo b'milva lo. But if he had just given him $100, he had loaned him $100. So Shimon owes Reuven $100. That's how he has the $100 in his possession. He had borrowed it from Reuven. Now, when Shimon owes this debt, it wasn't actually given to him. A milva is lotzeis. A milva is used to be spent. So when Shimon got that money from Reuven, it's as if it's been spent already, and he owes him the $100. So Rava wants to say, I had thought that this din of Maim and Shloshan only works if Shimon actually has something like a collateral or pikadon in his possession from Reuven, and Reuven can instruct him to go and give that tangible pikadon to Levi. But it wouldn't work with an IOU that Shimon had, that he owed Reuven the money. Avu b'mil v'lo. But, velokim, Rav makes like a shvua by God, velokim, Amar Rav, Rav's statement that Maim and Shloshan works is afilu b'milva, even when you're dealing with the milva. So, this is a special din of Maimat Shloshdan, which the Gemara will now discuss. It Manami, we have a similar statement. Amar Shmuel Mishmei de Levi. Shmuel had also said in the name of Levi, Milva li biyodcha tenei lo luploni, this money that you owe me, Shimon, you borrowed $100 of me, that money that you owe me, don't return it to me. Reuven says, go and give it to Levi. So Shmuel said in the name of Levi, Maimat Shloshdan kona, that this does in fact work, just like Rav said, via the din of Maimat Shloshdan. Now why? The time of my, why does Rav and Shmuel in the name of Levi both hold that this Maimit Shloshdan works? So my Maima, because the Maima says, Nasir ka omalo b'shas maten mos, shabadna loch ledidach, ulechol b'osu mecha masoch. It's as if, at the time that he gave him the money, when Shimon had borrowed the money from Reuven, and he now owes Reuven back that money, so it's as if he had said, when you are obligated to pay me, Reuven says to Shimon, you either pay me back or you pay back anybody that I want you to pay it to. So you're meshubed with this money to me, but I can instruct you to instead go give it to Levi. And that's what it means over here. Nasik omelo b'shas matan mos. It was as if he said at the time that he lent Shimon the money, it's as if he had said, you owe me money, shabad nolach l'didach, you are now obligated to me to pay me back the money, or ulchol di asu mechamasach, or to anyone who I ask you to go and come and take that money. As Rashi says, Nasika omelo lelova to the malva, Ruvein to Shimon in my case, then he gave him the money, b'shas matan mos, at the time of the loan, mishabadna, you are, as if I had said, from this moment, mehashta, Rashi says, lechol man da'ase mechamasach, anybody that comes on my behalf, you have to go and pay them. Hilkach, therefore, ki amalei te'el ploni, when I later on tell you, go give it to Levi, it's as if I retroactively, at the time of the loan, told you, go and pay back Levi. Igloi milsa, it's a revealed, retroactively, the mishas matan mos ishtabed le. It's as if from the time of the loan, it really was Levi's money. And that's how this Maimon Shloshim works from a technical point of view. However, Amalei Ravashi Lameimar, Ravashi says to Ameimar, El Mayata, based on what you're saying, Hikna l'noladim d'lo habu b'shas matan mos. What happens if Reuven says, I'm lending you the money, Shimon, and I want you to pay it back to my grandchildren. I want you to pay it back to somebody that is not alive at this point in time. Hocha nami d'lo kanu. Are you telling me that the nolad, the people that are going to be born, who aren't in the world at this time, would not acquire that, and the Maimon Shloshim wouldn't work? And that's because Dafilu Rav Meir, even according to Rav Meir, who does allow sometimes things that aren't in this world to take effect, the Amar Rav Meir holds, are the Makdeh Dover Shelo Bol Yolam. A person does have the right to go and transfer something that hasn't yet come into the world to somebody else. But Rav Meir had only said, Hani Mili, he'd only said that that was true, the Dover Sheyesh No Ba'olam. It's in the world, but it isn't in the way it is right now. As Rashi says, Kigon, Mocher Peros Dekel. If a person sells the fruit that are going to grow on this tree, well, the tree is in the world right now, so that's why Rebbe says, even though the fruit aren't there, you can go sell the fruits that will grow on that tree. That's called a dover shelo bal yolam in regards to the peros, but the tree is already there, so that's why Rebbe says it's good. Aval a dover she'en bal yolam at all, but something that's not in the world at all, so then, lo, then you wouldn't be allowed to. So if there was no tree there, you can't sell him the trees that will grow. Similarly, Rashi says, you can go sell him the fish that will be caught in his net, even though they're not caught yet. So that only works, Rashi continues, Hani Mili, ki masna li odam sheyesh lo b'olam. That's if the person is already alive. Abo l'dover sheyeno b'olam, like the grandchildren, no, it shouldn't work. So therefore, you're telling me that you can't do this Maimon Shloshim for somebody who is not yet nolad, but you are allowed to do this. So therefore, that can't be the way that the Maimon Shloshim works. So therefore, Elo Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says the following is the way that a Maimon Shloshim works, and we turn to Yudalit Omer Aleph. It works in the following way, Bahai Yano, it's with that type of benefit that he gets to call Mishtanyole Ben Milva Yeshana Lemilva Chadosha. It works because instead of it being an older loan, which would have ramifications in terms of who you can collect from, in terms of priority, it's as if you're turning it into a new loan right now. And therefore, because of this change, no longer do you owe the money to Reuven, which was a loan from 2 years ago. Now you owe the money to Levi, which is considered as if it's a loan from right now. Ba'ahu hanah, the benefit that Shimon gets from not having to pay back this loan that's a two-year-old note and only have to pay back a loan that's now a one-day-old note, Ba'ahu hanah, the komishtanyalei bein milva yeshana, from the prior commitment to Reuven to a new commitment, l'milva chadasha, to Levi, that hanah gomar umishabed nafshe. He is indebting himself to pay that money to Levi because of this hanah that he got. Rashi explains in the top Rashi, the advantage of delaying the time that the note, so to say, starts from, that the debt is due, is because noach lo lidchos hapiron zman orach. A person who's owed money, okay, you can't pay me now, pay me in a month. Okay, can't pay me in a month, pay me in 2 months. But if it's already been 2 years, he's not going to push it off and say, yeah, pay me in a month or two. No, you owe it to me already for 2 years. Whereas if it's a brand new loan, and he says, okay, pay me back next month comes, he's like, I can't pay it back yet, pay me in another month, he says, okay, because it's a new loan. So that's the benefit, gamar umishabed nafshe, with this benefit, as Rashi tells us over here as well. Hashto b'shas amira, at the time that Reuven says, don't pay me back, go pay Levi back, at that point of time, Shimon is thrilled to do this. But Lev Shalom, he does this with a full heart. Because instead of me having to pay back a two-year-old loan, I'm now paying back a brand new loan, and I'll be able to push it off. And therefore, he does this very willingly and voluntarily, and that's how the Kenyan works. Mor says, it's also problematic. Amalehuna mar birei de Rav Nechem l'Ravashi. This is Ravashi's teretz. Ravuna, who is the Hunamar, who is the son of Rav Nechem, he says to Ravashi, if that's true, El Mayata, kigon hane devei bar el yoshiv, the kofse v'shok leli alter, hochanami de lokanu. I can understand you telling me if Levi is a better person for Shimon to pay back, then it's Reuven. But what happens if Levi is like the people from the family of Bar El Yoshev? Who is Bar El Yoshev? So Rashi says he was an Adam Chazak Sheino Mamtin. He says, you owe me money. It's due today. I'm going to break your knees if you don't pay me back today. Yeah, I'm not giving you an extra 30 days. He's a tough guy. So if Levi is a tough guy compared to Reuven, that's not something that Shimon's going to be happy about. He's not going to be happy about, now I owe the money to this loan shark. I owe this money to Levi, who's a tough guy. I was really thrilled to owe the money to you, Reuven. You're a nice guy. So, Huna Mar Berei de Reb Nechemiah says to Ravashi, are you telling me that a Maimon Shlosh wouldn't work if Levi is a tough guy? El Miata Kigon Hani Debar El Yashiv, Devei Bar Yashiv, for the family of the people of Bar Yashiv's associates. The kofse, they tie people up, bishokle, and they take the money that's owed to them, lealter, immediately. Are you telling me, hochanami lokanu, my mishloshim will work because he's not going to be gomar umash, but nashe, fully willingly? Hey, I don't want to deal with Levi, I want to deal with you, Reuven. So he's not going to be transferring over the debt from his owing the money to Reuven to Levi. Are you telling me my mishloshim doesn't work? And you're going to tell me, v'chitem hochanami, yeah, it doesn't work? That's not true. Imkei nasata derech l'shir. In that way, you'd be saying that sometimes a Maimon Shloshim works and sometimes a Maimon Shloshim doesn't work. It's either all or nothing. It either works or it doesn't work. So that can't be the teretz. So how does a Maimon Shloshim work? We've knocked off two ways to suggest that the Maimon Shloshim works. Number one, that he did it at the time of the loan. He says, you're b'shabed to pay me back or anybody else that I want. And that didn't work because it didn't allow them. And that it's a gomar umash bid nafshei right now because it's beneficial to him. So that doesn't work because of the tough guys. So, how does the Maimon Shloshim work? So, Gemara says, Allah Omar Azutra, this is how Maimon Shloshim works. Hani Tlos Mili, these three things, one of which will be Maimon Shloshim, Shadinu Rabbanon Kehilchasa Below Taima. The rabbis just said it works through the principle of Hefker based in Hefker. The rabbis have the right to take money from Reuven and give it to Shimon without any rational reason. Hefker based in Hefker. Basin has the right, in terms of financial matters, to just do what they think is best. And that's how this works, Maimon Shloshim. There are three things that Beis Din just said. Shavinu Rabbanon, Kehilchasa, Below Time. It's as if it was Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai, without a rationale or reason behind it, and therefore, that's how Maimon Shloshim works. What are these three things? Chada Ha. Number one is Maimon Shloshim. So you're right, it doesn't have a reason why it should work. What's the second one? The Idach. The second one is the Amar of Yehuda. Mishmuel Rebbe the said name of Shmuel. Hakosev called Mechos of Lishto. If a man writes over all of his property to his wife, and then he Nebuch passes away, so Lo Asa Elo Apotropia. He didn't really intend to give the money over to his wife. He wanted the money to go in the normal Yerusha patterns to his children. But he wanted his wife to be respected, and he wanted his wife to be taken care of by the children, and therefore he said this only so that the children should respect his wife. Lavdafka is the wife, his mother. The wife could be a stepmother to them. And he wanted to make sure that the children respect his wife. And therefore, he said, all my properties go to my wife. He wasn't going against the laws of Yerusha. All the properties go to the children. And the wife will get entitled to the ksuba. But she's entitled to stay there until she decides to collect the ksuba. And therefore, he wanted his children to respect his wife. And therefore, lo asa el apotropia, he made her into an apotropus. In other words, she would be the guardian of the property. Even though Rashi says he wrote it in the language of the Matana, nevertheless, the rabbi said that's not what he meant. Lo kanosin, she doesn't acquire them. Why not? There is no real reason over here. So this again is based upon this principle that the rabbis have the right to do financially with what they think is best, and they assumed and presumed over here that he really wasn't intending to give it over to his wife as a straightforward gift, but just to make sure that she was honored and respected by the children, and she would be the apotropis for the estate. That's the second one of the three. The third one, what's that? The Idach, number three, the Amar Rav Hananya. Rav Hananya said, Hameisi Isha Livno Godol Bebayis. If a man married off his oldest son, and he did this in a wedding hall, so in those days they used to basically build a small house and use that as the wedding hall, and therefore in this situation, Kino, that oldest son, essentially acquires the house that they were married off in, because that was the presumption. As Rashi says, this was bayis miyuchad sheino darba elosolo lebeis chasnus. It was made as like a mini wedding call, and therefore it was with the understanding that it was intended that that would be the house of the son and not just the wedding call of the son. Again, this doesn't necessarily make perfectly full logical sense, but because of the principle of hefker based in hefker, so this is one of the three, the last of the three things that the rabbis instituted, shavinu rabbanon ki hilchasa below taima. This was halacha l'Moshe Sinai. The rabbis did this based upon their estimation as for what's best for society. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.